Proverbs chapter number 14, and we're just going to, I believe, bring a conclusion to what we started last week. We've been going through this series, Home Improvement, over the past few weeks, and last week we started talking about the need of home builders, but we ran out of time, and I'm just trusting the Lord to help us to complete that today. Proverbs chapter number 14, and I'm going to read verse number 1. Proverbs 14, verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman pulls it down with her hands. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter is in the New Testament. So you go all the way close to the back of your Bible. And just immediately after the book of James, you come to this beautiful book written by Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessels, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Shall we pray? Eternal Father, we thank you this beautiful morning as we go through your word. Lord, let light shine from heaven. Let it bring illumination to our hearts, O God. I ask, O Lord, that you anoint the hearts of your people, my brethren. Let there be a release of grace to receive the word as it's going to be preached this morning. Lord, I pray, O Lord, that collectively both the preacher and the hearer of this word, let us receive this word, this engrafted word. Lord, speak to us, direct, reprove us, instruct us in righteousness so that we may be complete unto every good works. I pray, O Lord, that at the end of this meeting, all of us will have been transformed by the renewal of our mind through your word. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, and the church say a big amen. Amen. The needs of home builders. The needs of home builders. The needs of home builders. Now, we started talking about this last week, and by the grace of God, I'm going to be spending more time talking about, next week we're going to be talking more about the needs of husbands. But today we're just going to complete our discussion about the needs of home builders, the wives. Last week, we established the fact that homes or families are primarily built, knit together, if you like, by women. By the wives in the home, because we're talking in the context of marriage. I'm going to be using more of the word wives, but sometimes it also applies to women in general. And we say that wives are given this special grace. They have this peculiar grace upon them to put families together. And that the interesting thing is that wives actually have needs. They have needs in their lives. And the good thing about the needs of every woman, specifically in this case, the need of a wife, is that it actually has its supply from the husband. By that I mean that they are not just needs that are just existing in vacuum. They are actually needs that the husband actually has the capacity to be able to fulfill or to meet. And the reason for discussing about the needs is because we as men or as husbands actually have the capacity to be able to fulfill and to meet these needs. Now, why are we talking about this? It is important for us to realize that the Bible talks encourages us to discuss the needs of our wives or of women in general. And that's why what we have seen in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 7. I have another translation. Do you want to help me with the translation? Is it available? 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 7. It says this: your husbands must be careful of you husbands rather, must be careful of your wives, being thoughtful of their needs, being thoughtful of their needs, and honoring them as the weaker sex. Remember that you and your wife are partners. I love that word, partners, in receiving God's blessings. And if you don't treat them as you should, your prayers will not get ready answers. Now, that word says being thoughtful of their needs. So the reason why we're having this series, for instance, is because the Bible encourages us to discuss the needs of our wives. Secondly, the reason why we're bringing them to the front burner is because we need to know for us as men or as husbands to be able to fulfill it. Because of the difference between men and women or between husband and wives, sometimes it is easy for you to assume that the woman is just a female version of the man. But the truth of the matter is that's not correct. They've got needs, and the needs, we have the capacity as men or as husbands to be able to fulfill or to meet those needs. And understanding what those needs are puts us at a position to be able to know what exactly we need to do to be able to fulfill and meet those needs. We talked about the fact that it is impossible for us to use the same brush to paint all the women. For instance, I can't... some of the needs that I've started talking about last week and the ones that I'm going to be talking about today, for instance, they don't necessarily apply to every woman that you come across or across, they don't cut across every wife perhaps represented here. So you're going to have to forgive your pastor if some of the things that I'm saying does not particularly address your point or address you 100%. I trust God that most of the things that I'm going to be talking about actually address women and address wives, but you may have one or two that does not apply to you in person. And that's great. That's good. In fact, that actually talks about your uniqueness because you are uniquely made. You're not just, mass-produced. God did not just mass-produce every woman, but it's important for us to know that there are peculiarities. There are instances when certain things are just not the way you assume that it will be for every woman. And that's so you need to forgive your pastor if some of the things or one or two of the things that I'm going to be talking about does not apply specifically to you because you are a unique person. For instance, last week we talked about the fact that women are naturally emotional, talking about being weaker vessel physically and emotionally, but not every woman have that emotional frailties. Women generally, will cry. About everything, and then when you say something, say, you say that to me, and then they will start crying, but not all women behave that way, my wife, for instance, does not behave that way. In fact, one day I had to call her, are you a woman, because she would not cry. She would just not cry. And I felt that was depriving me as the man. When you watch movies, you see that when the women start crying, then the men will come around and then they will put them at their head on their shoulders and just pat them. But I had no opportunity like that because she would just not cry. And I said, please just cry. Please cry. because that's not her, So we have these peculiarities that does not just necessarily describe us in terms of the group called women, and you are going to be seeing the same thing in terms of the group called men or husband when we talk about them next week. I'm saying that because I want you to know that some of the things or one or two of the things may not specifically apply to you as a person. So what are the needs of our wives? We talked about them. We started last week, and we said that there are three major needs. I've grouped them together. They've got subs. The first one that we discussed last week was the need for love. Your wife needs love. Your wife needs love. Demonstrable love. This is a kind of love that is not that is demonstrated. You need to demonstrate it. How do you demonstrate it? You demonstrate your love by giving her attention. We talked about that. You demonstrate your love by providing for her. We talked about that. You demonstrate your love by caring for her as a delicate vessel. We talked about that last week. So the need for love was dealt with last week, and I'll just pick up from there. Secondly, your wife needs leadership. Your wife needs leadership. By leaders, I'm not talking about a dictator, I'm not even talking about a ruler. No woman would like to be ruled, as it were. So we're not talking about leadership in terms of dictatorship. We're not talking about that in terms of rule. Ruling over women came as a curse. And if we've got the time, I'm going to share that from God's word. Men are not created to rule over women. They are men are created to lead, to provide for, to guide, to shepherd, if you like, their wives. It was at the incoming of sin that things became completely distorted. Women, your wife specifically, needs leadership. She needs you to provide leadership. And Jesus gives an example of the kind of leadership that the husband needs to provide. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 22, you remember the story how this woman, the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John, came to Jesus and said, "You know, Lord, I want one of my sons to stay on the right and the other one on the left when you get into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "You have asked a very difficult question." And down the track, the other disciples got to know about the request of this woman, for the sons. And they came and they became grumpy. Of course, they were not happy about it, because if you've taken the right and the left side of Jesus, then there is no other side as important. And Jesus said, no, you guys, you're getting it wrong. In this kingdom, the way we lead is not the way the world leads. You know, he said the men in the world, they lord it over their subjects. But in this kingdom, if you're going to lead, you must learn to serve. So we're talking about leading by serving. Leading by serving. Some people have termed it servant leaders. So you lead by the reason of you serving. And that's what every man should do. As a matter of fact, like we discussed last week, the serving of your wife should be a very good should be a priority, and you must be ready as a man to serve her to death. That's what the Bible says. And he gave himself for the church, and he gave himself for her. So you love her to death. In other words, you provide the leadership by serving. So it's not go there, come here as a commander in chief. No. Your wife needs leadership in the sense of you serving. And there are three key areas that your wife needs leadership. And I want you men to listen and to hear me well, because this is very key and important. You know, I've had instances, by the grace of God, opportunities to counsel people. And I discovered that this is actually one of the key areas that men actually fumble and stumble. And so they lose the leadership in the home, and there is chaos and confusion in their families, and they wonder why. Because if you don't measure up very well in providing leadership for your home, you have lost the game right from the beginning, right from the outset. There are three key areas that your wife will need to be guided or to be led. The first one is that your wife wants you to provide spiritual leadership. Your wife needs you to provide spiritual leadership for the home. Somebody says, "What if my wife happened to be a pastor?" Even as a pastor, even if your wife is a pastor, when you get to the home and the family setting, your wife still wants you to provide spiritual leadership in the family, in the home. It's very strange. And that's why even when you have people who have the opportunity and the grace to pastor churches as women, when they get back to the home front, they still need and desire that somebody called a man or the husband in the home provide that spiritual leadership. So your wife needs you to provide spiritual leadership in the home. Now, and this is a big problem. Why? Because unfortunately, the devil has actually cornered many men such that they have actually relegated, as it were, their most important function, which is leadership, especially spiritual leadership. They have relegated it to the background, that such that they actually hand it over into the hands of their wives and children. They say something like this: "No, I don't pray, my wife does. You know, I don't fast, my wife does, and my children. I don't go to church, my wife does. You know, I don't go for prayer meeting, my wife and the children go to prayer meeting." I will ask you the question: so what? Who are you? What do you do? That man has handed over, literally, the leadership of that home into the wife. And he's going to be the same person that will be complaining. "This woman just wants to rule and take leadership over the home." You handed it over in the first instance by not taking spiritual leadership. I've heard this many times. Many women will come and they will say, you know, if I don't tell him that we need to go to church today, we don't go. If I don't tell him it's time to pray, we don't pray. If I don't tell him it's time to, you know, study God's word together, we don't. And I said, that man has lost his place in the family. All he has is a carcass in his hand by the reason of his maleship. He's not a man. Why? Because he has given over the spiritual leadership of that home, and therefore he has no basis to function as a leader in that family. Spiritual leadership. That's what your wife needs from you. He needs you to take the initiative to pray for the family, the initiative to attend. You know, it amazes me when people talk about the fact that, you know, when we need to do anything spiritual, it's the woman that stands to the front. I said exactly, that was exactly what the devil convinced Eve to do, and that's caused exactly the problem. Because Eve was not supposed to take the decision for the family. When God will speak to them as a family, he will speak to Adam. Adam, where are thou? I need to speak to you. I need to speak to you and give instruction. But when the devil wants to come, he went and he spoke to the woman. And unfortunately, the woman, rather than referring the serpent to the husband to go and have that discussion, said, well, I'm okay. I can take this decision. After all, the guy doesn't even know anything, you know. And for the first time, there was a change in the direction and the order of things in the home, and there was chaos. The chaos of which humanity is still reaping today. The need to take leadership in your home and your family. Somebody says, but you know, I don't know how to pray as a man. That's why you need to learn. That's why you need to learn. You know, the church is a school. This is a school for life. If you attend school and you practice your law and accounting and all those things, and you can't take 1 hour, 2 hours to attend a school for life, Church is the place where you learn to take leadership. Prayer meetings. Like I was talking about it a short while ago, it sounded a bit harsh, you know, but I hope you still love your pastor. You know, one thing I pray for, I said, Lord, the day I will not be able to tell the people that you have given to us as a church the truth, that day, start raising people in this church for us all to start praying for a new pastor. The day I start not talking and telling you exactly the way it is, we need to come together and start saying, Lord, give us a new pastor. Spiritual leadership. We need to go back to that man. We need to go back to that and take our place in the home. In the home. When your wife tells you, no, you can stay today, you know, it's a bit cloudy, you don't have to go to prayer meeting. Say, no, I'm going. Why? Because you're depriving me of my leadership. Now, the woman is not asking because he wants to take over the leadership of the home from you. He's asking because she loves you. She wants you to be there and just care and just cuddle. There are times to cuddle and there are times to be in church, people of God. That place is the place where you actually take your hedge and cut your hedge as the leader of the family. You need to get yourself out and get out into the wood and pray. That's the way to lead. That's just the way to lead. If the woman is not coming alongside you, say, okay, you can stay at home. I'm going. I'm going to take my place in spiritual, because that's the place where you take your standpoint to lead your family. It's, leading the family is an overflow of your status in your spirit, in the spiritual platform. If you fall from that platform, all you will continue to do all the days of your life is to say, but I am the man in this house. You've lost your place a long time ago. Church, are you listening to me? That's the place, that's the way to lead. You lead spiritually first. You have to have the spiritual capacity. That does not make you to be a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor to lead your family. Every man is supposed to actually be a mini pastor functioning in the home. Because your house is your church. I don't have the time to show you from God's word. He will say, greet the church that meets in their house. That may mean people coming to that house, but that may also mean your family. I was sharing the other time last week, you know, with some people. I said, you know, this morning we had church in the home. Why? Because somebody shared. My daughter shared from God's word. The second one make the comment. We had a song, and we did that from 9 to 10 in the morning on Saturday. I mean, not that we actually booked a time, but because we don't usually rush out in the morning on Saturday, it's the time to just lead the church in the home. And we will do that. And I said jokingly that the only thing we did not do in that church was to collect tithe and offering. You know? And maybe I will introduce that. It's just that I will be there. I will be the one to supply the tithe and the offering, and then it will come back to me, you know. That was 9 to 10 last week, and that's what, I mean, because that's church in the home. And I'm happy with that, because if I show up in church, by God's grace, I mean, I have great people that the Lord has blessed us with, and they always show up every Sunday here. If nobody shows up, I have a church. I've already led my church in the family. I mean, at home. Anyway, you know, I've fulfilled my primary function as the spiritual head of a home. That family that is given to you is for you to lead, people of God. Your wife needs leadership, spiritual leadership in the house. Number two. Your wife needs you to lead in the area of guiding leading and guiding the children. Your wife needs you to take leadership in the area of guiding and leading the children. That's talking about parenting. She needs you to give instruction about discipline, you know, about what they should do, what they should not do, the activities they should be involved in at school, the ones that they should not. She needs your guidance in that area. And the man ought to lead, take leadership. Leading does not mean you attend all of the activities. It just means you provide guidance. You know, it just means you provide instruction and guidance. And the reason why you are at a very good standpoint to provide that guidance is because you are spiritually, you know, up there as the one that is seen, that is able to see beyond what is just apparent. You know, your wife needs to say, okay, no, you're not doing that. You're doing that. That is not to say that women don't discipline children. In fact, I've met some, you know, women who are great disciplinarians. But they need you. Our wives need us to take leadership in the discipline and guiding and leading the children in the family. You know. They need the man that will say, no, you don't talk like that. You don't talk like that. You know, there is a way that discipline is becomes robust if the man is on board. There is a way discipline becomes robust if the man is on board. You know, and I'm not talking about child abuse here, you know, because each time you talk about discipline, people think about child abuse. No, I'm talking about putting guide, you know, providing barrier, boundaries. And God has equipped men. I'm not sure whether it's actually the baritone voice or whatever, but the presence of a man who gives instruction and direction just has this added advantage to the solidity of that home in terms of the direction for the women. And that's why we have all this chaos in our society, because there is no man that will stand in the family to give direction. Many times when I sit in my office as a clinic and I look at those children as they come, I say, where are their fathers? Not because their fathers are not with them at the clinic, but because I don't see the input of a father in this child. The other time I was brought, a young boy was brought to me about 6 years ago. Beautiful boy, beautiful boy. I almost wanted to adopt him from the mom. Now, beautiful boy. And this boy was behaving badly. And the only thing the mother thought she would need to do was to organize some counseling and psychology. And I said, oh, no. No, and as a boy, she said, this boy is uncontrollable in the home. No, when you tell him to do something, he does not do it. You know, he trashes things, he causes trouble. No, I examined the boy. Medically, this boy is good. I said, in my heart, I said, what this boy just needs a father. A father that understands his place in the family as a provider of lead, as a leader in the family. And as they were walking out of my office, you know, this was a boy. The mother says, this boy is uncontrollable. All throughout the time this boy was in my office, he was well behaved. And as they were walking out of my office, I just, Lord, will you just provide a man for this boy? Beautiful boy. Very, very beautiful boy. You know, handsome. Like I said, I was almost adopting him from the mother. Otherwise, they would just say, this man is a kidnapper. You know, but the boy lacks leadership in the family. And your wife needs you to take take the leadership role in the family. There are many things that our girls do as they get older. One of the things they don't do, or you can't do, is talk back to your mother. No, you don't do that. Not especially when the father is at home. You can't do that. You can't just talk to your mom anyhow. Because there is leadership. There is guidance. So lead leadership, spiritual leadership. The second is leadership in guiding the children. And the third is leadership in conflict resolution. She needs, so the first one I said was she needs spiritual leadership. Secondly, she needs you to take leadership in leading and guiding the children. That's parenting, and we're going to be having a session on that in the weeks ahead. And the third is she needs you to take leadership in conflict management and resolution. That's a big one. Conflict management and resolution. Now, your conflicts or the conflict that take place in the home, they are very important. They are important because they are good materials. Please, men, husbands, don't waste those materials. Don't waste those materials. Don't habitually outsource the resolution of your conflict. Did you hear what I said? Don't, out of habit, always outsource how you're going to manage conflicts. Why? Because you are outsourcing the very material that is required for that marriage, that family to actually grow. Each time you outsource it, just see yourself as wasting materials for development. Because as the man, you are supposed to use those materials as building block. By the time you finish resolving those conflicts, it's you make your family stronger and your marriage stronger. That's the way it is. I'm not saying that you don't take advantage of the leadership that the Lord has provided for you. For instance, in a church setting, I have had the privilege of ministering to some of our church members who are at one time or the other going through some conflict. But the word there is habitually, you know, routinely, you know, as almost a default, outsourcing your conflict. No, don't do that. Manage it. And that's why God has placed you there. You know, and that's the problem, because if you fail as a leader spiritually, then it's going to be so difficult for you to manage your conflicts very well. Conflicts are great materials, and your wife needs you to take leadership in conflict management and resolution. You know the way it is? It's like each time you are sourcing every simple conflict, it's like somebody that takes antibiotics for every small, you know, lumps and bumps on the skin, you know. Every time he has a sign of infection, boom, amoxicillin, fluconazoline, penicillin, and just dodge everything into the stomach. Why? Because he wants to kill. No, you don't do that. You leave it. Why? Because there are some immune system. There is something called immune system in your body. And those immune systems, they are there to be developed, and their development is predicated on the challenge that is brought by bugs. So when there is a bug on your skin, for instance, and don't leave it for too long because you need to go and see the doctor, but I'm saying that when there is a bug on your skin, those things go into action. They are recruited, okay, to go into action, and then they provide antibodies. They fight the infection, and they provide you for a while to have antibodies. And that's why, for instance, when you have some bug going around, once you have it this week, you may not have it for the next couple of weeks until those antibodies get lost in the system. Why am I saying that? Each time you outsource your conflict, it's like somebody that is taking antibiotic for the simplest ailment. You don't allow your immune system to grow. You don't allow your capacity as the man, and your family as a unit to grow through those resolutions. It is the pressure of conflict, when you come out from the pressure of conflict, that gets you together. So don't outsource it. So what that means is that the man must be the one to take the lead in resolving conflicts. It is a servant leader. You know, when men want to, and this is where problem comes, because we've got a lot of ego. We have ego as men, and how can I go and tell her sorry? No, I won't say sorry. You don't have to say sorry. What I'm talking about resolution, I'm not even saying sorry. I'm saying that you come into the picture and bring things together and manage things, you know. It is not who is right. It is who is happy. You need to keep that home together. And as the man, you are taking the lead. You're taking the lead. Each time the woman is the one that is always resolving the conflict, you are losing your ground. You are losing your position. It is you that takes position. You see, the way it works is this. It's not the lesser, it's the greater that resolve conflicts. In the culture where I grew up, it is the elders of the town, the elders of the city that resolve conflict. So when a small boy is coming to resolve conflict, he's taking the position of the elders. Okay? As the one in the home, you are the elder of the home. You may be a small boy, don't worry, but in that home, you are the elder, as it were. You resolve conflicts. And there are several taxes, several ways. You need to pay me to give you some tips, you know. But sometimes, for instance, when I have issues with my wife, and it may be small issues, and then she's not talking to me, you know, I go into my room and I just talk to the Lord, you know. Because you need to first address it spiritually. You see, the problem is people just rush into things and start talking to people without even talking to God. You know, I address it spiritually, and I arrest her heart and spirit. I speak to the spirit, because, you know, there is a spirit in a man, is the inspiration of the Almighty. You speak to that heart, because I know she has got a beautiful heart, but somehow something is creeping up and is causing disruption. Most of the time, I'm the one wrong, but sometimes she's the one that is wrong, you know. And then I speak to her heart. Lord, let there be calmness. As I speak to her now, let there be an openness from heaven. Let there be a release of the grace and of the power of God to give me the understanding to speak the right words to her. In Jesus' name, amen. And then you come out of your room and say, you know, what's wrong with you, you know. What's wrong with you? And you just, you know, some of you are looking at me as if I'm dramatizing. Am I talking about something that you don't understand? You know, she may be at the kitchen. I will just bump into her. What's wrong with you? What's the problem with you, this girl? You small girl. You are just talking to me. You know, you just downplay things and you just manage that. And then she will just open up and she will just talk about everything. And then you will leave there happily thereafter. What's the problem with that? You know what I've done? I've scored a point as the leader of that home. I've scored a point as the leader of that home. I resolve conflict. I manage crisis. That's my job. That's why I'm paid. You know the payment I've been given? I've been given the leader of that home. You're not called to lead. You're not called a leader for nothing. You are called a leader because you manage crisis. You manage conflict. And your wife wants you to step into that. When she wants you to step into that. I've seen situations where believers, you know, born, blood bought, blood washed, will be in conflict for several weeks. No one is bulging. You know, and the man is saying, no, I can't go to her. And the woman is saying, no, I can't go to him. You know, I said, no, you take the lead. You are the man. You are the man. Stop all these, you know. You know, it goes to the point where we send emails and letters to the people that is just sleeping next to us, you know. And then you say, no, I'm going out tomorrow. What do you need? And she's just there, you know. and then she would say, no, I'm not going anywhere. And she's just by your side, you know, or you send email, you know. I said, no. Don't lead your home in the 21st century with the 21st century gadget. Lead it by the Spirit of the Lord. You lead it by the Spirit of the Lord. And by the Spirit of the Lord means you need to take the horn by the bull. I saw the bull by the horn, rather. and speak the right words. But you come from the standpoint of the spirit. You are a spirit man. You have a soul. You live in a body. I learned this a while ago when my father was giving me some troubles because I was attending churches. And then I was complaining and I was having strife and it was not just going to end. And then one day I got the scripture that you actually lead it from the realm of the spirit. So before I would go for my meetings, I would go into my room and I would speak to the heart of my father. I will address the demonic powers that are trying to use him as an influence because of his authority over me to deprive me of the opportunity to go to church and to meetings. And then I will come to dad and say, dad, you know, I want to go to that meeting. And all of a sudden, the man started responding. I said, oh, that's the way it works. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, people of God. When there is conflict in the family, it's not about he said, she said. No, it's about the spiritual forces that are trying to tear you apart. The man must rise up and take that position. Amen. The way some men are looking at me is like I'm speaking Greek. And this is the way it works, people of God. People that run great marriages, it's not because they are extra smart. It's because they understand the way it works. That's the way it works, people of God. So leadership, spiritually, leadership over the family and children and leadership in conflict resolution. The third one, and I will finish with this because of our time. Holy Spirit, help me. Your wife needs you to take, your wife needs security. I left this because it's perhaps the most important. Your wife needs security. So the first two we've talked about, your wife needs love. Secondly, your wife needs leadership. Finally, your wife needs security. And security, by security we mean that the state of being free from danger or threat. The state of being free from danger or threat. Your wife needs security. In practical terms, your wife needs to know that you are committed to this for life. She needs to know that you will be there forever. She needs to know that you are in this and you don't have a plan B. She needs to know that you don't have any bailout plan, that you are committed to this. That's what gives a woman or a wife a sense of security. She needs to know that you are in this and you are in this for good. By the time there is a question mark about your commitment, there is going to be an erosion of her security. And when the woman loses her security, all hell breaks loose. She does not even listen. She can't hear you. Whatever you say, she can't hear it. Why? Because she has lost her sense of security. But when you make a woman secure, when you make a wife secure in the home, and she has this confidence that this man is here for life, there is no plan B. He's not bailing out. He's committed to this. By the way you talk, by the way you act, by the way you do things, then you have a woman that is ready, able to listen to you at every point in time. Let me give you a very good example. Talking about security. By the grace of God, we've married for 15 years, 16 years. And my wife told me that I needed to get this right. So, 16 years now, okay? And I remember in the first year of our marriage, we had a good period together, dating. So some of these things were already sorted, and that's why, like I said last week, I wonder what people talk about when they are dating. It's not just to talk about the best where you can get the best cuisines in town. It's a time to talk about your life together. By the grace of God, I've been able to pass across to her how much I loved her, and I still do, and how much that I was committed to this for life. She will be my first guest. I've never had a girlfriend. I've said that before. My wife, my kids, you do make fun of me till date. But what they don't realize is that, not that I did not have people who were interested in me, because don't forget I was forget about what you see now. Dang, I was a very handsome boy, with a future. I was in medical school and I was a pastor. I was pastoring a church of 500, 600 young people. We call it fellowship in the university those days. And more than 50% of them, 60% of them are girls or are ladies who are between ages 16 and 25, marriageable, beautiful girls, So you can imagine the pressure on the pastor. So it's not for lack of having advances. As a matter of fact, my wife knew a few people who have actually literally spoken to me, be my husband. Okay, so when you say I don't have girlfriend, not because I'm not marketable, praise God. It's just by reason of choice. Okay, all right. So let me just call the story short. So we had a great dating period, and the first year, I was going to work in a particular place in the country, which was far from where we were living, so I needed to leave her. And then at the other place, this is about 1,600 k's from where we were living. I met some other people there. I was going to be there for a period of a year in Nigeria, West Africa, where I trained as a doctor. Every graduate will need to leave their hometown or home country to go to another place and then serve the country in that place. And so I was there. I was in this place called Maiduguri in Borno State. If you have heard of the Chibok girls that were captured, that was the area where they were captured. It's in the northeastern part of Nigeria. So I was far from home. I met a few other doctors in the place. There was a particular lady that I met there, who we became friends. She also happened to be a doctor. Now, after a couple of months, we entered for this exam. It was a postgraduate exam, and we're going to do it together. Interestingly, it was going to be done at a place very close to my home. You know, so I said I was going to travel home, and this lady said, "Well, I don't have anyone around there. Would you mind if I stay with you?" I said, "That's okay." Now, don't forget, we're talking about a beautiful lady, you know, a very nice, beautiful lady who is a doctor. And then I called my wife, and I said, and she was pregnant of our first child at that time. I said, I met this young lady, and we're going to be flying home. We're going to be driving home. Not flying home. I didn't have money to fly. We're going to be driving back home together, and we're going to be writing the exams together. And then she said it was okay. Now, and as soon as a few weeks after we came home, and she was about six to eight months pregnant. She welcomed the lady. Of course, she welcomed the husband who has been away over the past few weeks. And then we had dinner together. I think it was in the evening. The second day, my wife told me, oh, she will be going to our workplace. Now, she was going to go to our workplace the following day. I was going to be in the house with a woman she had never met before. That was going to be our first time. And she said she was taking off. And I said, wow, this is serious. You know why she was able to do that? She had security. She was secured in her home. She was secured in her family. She was secured in her marriage. She had this impression that, look, I've caught this man. He's going nowhere. His heart is in my hand. I can do anything with it. She knew that much. Because we still talk about it still today. And sometimes when she wants to tease me, she says, have you heard from your second wife? Because she just talks about that one. And I'm saying that when a woman is secure, she doesn't feel threatened. She doesn't feel threatened. All these checking emails, checking phone, checking, you know, all those kind of things is because the woman is not secured. The woman is not secured. All these passworded home, passworded phone, passworded iPad, passworded, you know, door. You don't need it, people of God. Why? Because you need to make that woman secured. How do we make her secured? Number one, you have to be transparent. You have to be transparent. Your wife needs you to be transparent. She feels secure when you are transparent. When you are transparent, it's mind-boggling to know that there are couples in Christian families and Christian homes who don't even know their financial state. They don't even know how much the man earns. The woman does not know how much her husband earns. The man does not know how much his wife earns. Because there's no transparency. There's no transparency. And that's bad. I'm not talking about shared, you know, joint account or whatever. That's even secondary. You have to be transparent. She needs to know. You know, sometimes I ask myself, why do people even get married when they love their privacy this much? Why do they have to get married? I mean, if you are so much in love with your privacy, you don't have to get married. They don't ask for marriage certificate in heaven before they allow you in. You don't have to. You don't have to. But if you get married and you come together and become one, the Bible says the two of them shall become one flesh. Transparency. The woman needs to know everything. And the same vice versa, but because we are focusing on the women now, she needs you to be transparent. That's how she gets a sense of security. Number two, she feels secure when you play with her. And that sounds crazy, and I don't have time to talk about that. She feels secure when you play with her. When she feels that you enjoy being with her, you know, you enjoy being with her. You know, Genesis chapter 26, verse 8 talks about Isaac. Isaac was in a different land, and she was, he was claiming that the wife was actually the sister. And one day the king, you know, through the window, saw him playing with the wife. And he said, no, that kind of play, they don't do it between brothers and sisters. This one is different. She needs you to play with her. She needs you, and in the process of playing with her, she gets this understanding that you actually love to be with her in her presence. She feels secure. Finally, she feels secure when you value her. She feels secure when you value her. What do I mean by that? Now, referring to the previous teachings, and some of these, all of our teachings, for those people that are very new to our church, are available on our website, by the way. God has placed the man over the home under the Lord Jesus Christ. He has placed the woman under the man, under the Lord Jesus Christ, placed the children under the parent, under the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the structure, and that's what we call the pattern. Build it according to the pattern. Now, but that does not make the woman inferior. As a matter of fact, in the passage we have just read this morning, and I'm going to close with this, 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 7. We've run out of time today, but it's important that we just make this point before we close. Husband likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and has been heirs together of the grace of life. Do you see that? Heirs together of the grace of life. What does that mean? It means that the woman share the same grace, spiritual content, spiritual material, as it were, with the man. So in terms of order of the home is the man that is over the woman, but in terms of the value, in terms of the depth, in terms of spiritual strength, it doesn't make the woman inferior in any way. She may be physically weaker, she may be emotionally weaker, but she's not less than you in terms of spiritual endowment and strength. Why? Because you are heirs together. You are heirs together. Now, and it is important for the man to take advantage of those values in the wife. Your wife is intelligent. Believe me. If you think your wife is not intelligent, we need to question your intelligence, because it takes two to tango. Your wife is intelligent. There is character in the heart of that woman. There is faith in there. There is courage. There is confidence. And the man only needs to take advantage of those things. Why? Because there are times when you actually need those characteristics that that woman has. And that's why you need to polish her. You need to develop her. What you've got in your hand are raw materials. And as the man, you take the lead to polish, to make. The Bible says that he may wash her by the washing of the water, by the word of God, to present him to himself, to present her rather to himself. Talking about Jesus presenting the church, washes us. Exactly the same way the man actually washes the woman, builds up the character, builds up this courage, this confidence, this faith, these values in her. Why? Because you will need her at some point. I'll close with this. You know the story I just told you? The story I just told you about this young woman that came with me to the home, and we were going to write a postgraduate exam. The following day, after my wife had left, we went into the place where the college area where we're going to write the exam. I'm just going to emphasize the reason for you to actually value your wife and value the person that the Lord has placed in your life. So we got into the place, and we checked the names of the people that will be sitting the exam the following day. This lady's name was there. Mine was not there. You know, she started crying, you know, like the typical 80% woman, you know. Her name was there. It was my name that was not there. So if there was anyone that should be crying, it should be me, you know. But she started crying because my name was not there, and your name not being there means you were not going to be allowed to sit for the exam. Now, this was the exam I had already prepared for, you know, invested into, traveled all the way, 1,600 kilometers, and I was not going to write it. So I was dejected. We went back home together. My wife came in the evening. I explained everything to her. And she said, no, don't worry. Just go there tomorrow. I'm sure something will be sorted out. Okay. Of course, I couldn't sleep very well that night. I was like thinking about what was going to happen if I didn't sit this exam. The following morning, she went to her work. I went into this place where we're going to be sitting this exam. I got there, and the college insisted that because my name was not there, I was not going to be allowed to write the exam. I gave them information about how I paid for the exam and all those things, but they were not just going to budge. This other lady was going to write the exam, so I said, I wish you good success, good luck, and she went into her exam. Of course, she's crying, still crying for me. I said, this is an exam, you better focus, you know. I felt I was really very disappointed and dejected. I got into my car, I was driving home, and something just spoke to me. Why didn't you speak to your wife? Now, I thought it was something, but now I realize it must be someone, the Holy Spirit. So I said, by work, no? Okay, I will talk to her. She was at her place of work. Her place of work was not too far from where we're going to start see the exam anyway. So I drove into her workplace, and I said, you know, dear, you know what happened? She was like, oh, have you finished? No, I said, I've not even started. They wouldn't allow me to start writing the exam. She said, why? I said, because my name was not there. She said, okay, get into the car. I said, why? She said, because we're going back there. I said, the college just told me that my name was not on the list, and you're saying I should get back into the car because we're going there. Do you understand? We are talking about the college. College is not your principal. College. She said, no, get into the car, and we're going together. Now, at that point, I had two choices. I had the choice to say, this lady doesn't know what she's talking about. And I had the choice of saying, look, this woman, I value her. If she says something like this, there must be something that I'm missing. So I chose the second, because there was nothing to lose anyway. I got into the car. I felt at that point like a boy. You know, when boys are beaten at school, like 5-year-old, and they come home, and then they explain to their parents, and then the parents say, okay, now come and show me who said, you know. That was the way I felt, but I responded positively, and then we got back to the place, and my wife came down, you know, because the height of a woman does not determine the kind of strength she's got in her spirit man. If you are a man, a wise man takes advantage of the character in the life of his wife. All right, and we got there, and she said, so who said you can't write the exam? I said, it's that direction. I said, okay, come. You know, and then we got there. At that point in time, it was this, many people, I wasn't the only one affected. All the other guys had already left, you know. A handful were present there, and then at that point in time, for some reasons, the college had actually had a short meeting that morning, and they had decided, okay, that the people their names were not on the list should just still be allowed to write the exam all the same, and then they will sort it out later. And as we got into the door, and he said, where is the place? I said, this is the place. The guy that was invigilating saw me and said, oh, yeah, you are the young man that said we told you I wouldn't write the exam. You can come in now. And my wife, you can come go in now. You know, that's the strength of the character of a woman. And you know the reason why? Because we had prayed about this exam together. She believed that something was in that exam that ought to be. She believed I was going to pass the exam. You know, and then I sat the exam. Of course, I wasn't very confident about whether they were just going to allow us to write it just to, you know, settle all crises and then just throw the paper away. And I think it was a few days later, we went to check the exam result. And lo and behold, my name was there, clearly now, you know, as one of the people who passed it. I mean, this was an exam. Only seven people passed for that department in the entire West Africa. So we're not talking about many money more, you understand? So, but that was the strength of a woman, and a wise man take advantage of it because he valued her. People of God, understand, that woman did not walk into your life by just mere chance. The Lord has placed her there. And if you're wise, you will take advantage of it. Don't forget the needs of your wife. She needs love, she needs leadership, and finally, she needs security. Shall we pray?